welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So we're going to go ahead and get started here this morning and take a look at a few passages of scriptures here, actually starting out from the Old Testament, but I think you'll see a theme as we roll along. Starting in Genesis, the scripture says that Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on the earth at the time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Micah 6:8, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, as you read through the scriptures, you find that people who had a real impact in this world had something in common. They all had this thing, they walked with God, okay? Now, we know it's one thing to know about God, to even know God, even as believers, but then to actually walk with him. And we have an admonition in the New Testament as for us Christians. He says, for you, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, he said, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so this morning, I want to take a look at what we're simply calling learning to walk with the Lord. Learning to walk with the Lord, walking with the Lord. This is just, again, a common theme that we see throughout the scriptures. And in fact, that word walk is such a big word that carries from the Old Testament through the New Testament. It walk does not denote just what you know about God or your theology or what you think. Walk denotes an active participation in your faith. There's a walking. There's a doing of something here. And so as Christians, we know that when we call upon the name of the Lord, what happens is what Jesus said would happen. We'd get born again. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are born again, children of God. But just like in the natural, when you're born again a baby. You're born again new. You're a child of a real parent. But yet you're new, you're ignorant, you don't know much. And so it takes time to learn and to grow. And one of the phenomena that you get to experience as a natural parent is experiencing your child, teaching your child how to walk, to that learning how to walk and how to stand on your own two feet. And it's very much in the same way as it is in the natural, it's also true in the spiritual. Now, as you look at even this picture right here, this little girl here, she's, you know, you can tell that she trusts her dad. She's got her hands in his hands, but there's a look there. She's not really sure. She's believing, but she's, you know, there, you can see there's a little consternation going on there. And when you're learning how to walk, that's the way it is, you know? It's like, you know, you love mom and dad, you trust that, but still, I don't know what's going on here. And so walking, again, nobody's, you know, you're not born walking. And so you're born, you know, and you learn how to crawl and then toddle, and then you begin to learn how to walk. And so this morning, we're going to just look at what it looks like in real life. You know, kind of our moniker here at Door of Life is where faith meets real life. And we just want to kind of take that down to our walk with the Lord as we're learning to walk with God. What does that look like? Because there are some real, I think, powerful parallels here as we take a look at it. And the first thing that we want to look at in terms of learning to walk with God, as it is with a natural child, you got to believe that it's going to be worth the effort. In other words, if you're going to walk, there's got to be a reason for walking. There's got to be purpose. There's got to be a benefit. I mean, we didn't all crawl in through the doors here this morning and crawl to our seats. We came through those doors walking and walking to our seats. We must have realized that walking is better than crawling at some point. We must have realized that there's a real value and benefit and effort to get through that learning curve and that uncomfortableness and that awkwardness to actually learn how to walk. It was important. It was valuable. And again, what they'll say in kind of child rearing, or they'll have a phrase called, you got to put a tempting path in front of them. Give them a reason to want to walk. And I remember just as, you know, watching our kids grow up, we would just, Julie and I would put a child between us and she'd hold, the girl or Caleb, you know, if we had more girls, but they'd hold her and Julie'd hold her and I'd be kind of on the other side and we'd go, come on, you can do it. And just smiling, you could see they're really big and excited. So they'd want to walk and, you know, they kind of get close and sometimes they might just fall into our arms or something like that. But we'd be encouraging, we'd be cheering them on. And it's like, wow, this is really good. You know? So there was this reason, there's this important, reason to get up, to take the risk and take the step. So God has put a tempting trail in front of us as we are motivated to learn how to really walk with God. Let's take a look at some of the things he puts out in front of us as it relates to walking with him. First of all, and maybe I should kind of say this up front, you're going to see in this message this morning something a little different that I haven't really done much before, but I've just felt compelled, I guess I'll say, to do something which I'm probably just going to call scripture mashups, okay? You know how sometimes they'll do a song mashup or different kind of things where they'll just kind of combine some things together, but there's a certain continuity between the things that they're combining? Well, a lot of times what I've done traditionally is I'll put a scripture up there and then I'll just kind of quote a few other ones around it. Well, this morning I'm not going to do that so much as I'm putting all those scriptures together. It's almost like a cluster of scriptures, okay? And you'll see scriptures that we'll read from, you know, left to right across the top. And as they read from left to right, they'll be going from top to bottom. Okay, so there's a correlation there. If you want to get the PDF online, they're always available after service to do that. But I just feel like there's some concepts that I want to get across this morning that I want you to see the Word of God all put together, all these truths, because there's a continuity of truth across all these different writers. They're all inspired by the Holy Spirit, okay? So this is rightly divided scripture. But you can go back and search it out for yourself too. But these are scriptures that belong together because you'll see that continuity of thought. So anyway, here's one of the points that God puts out in front of us to give us incentive to begin to learn how to walk. And that is there's a walking into freedom. Galatians says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Okay, so when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I'm choosing to walk with God, I'm choosing to take those steps, I'm not just walking to walk, I'm walking into freedom. I'm learning how to walk in the Spirit. And when I learn how to walk in the Spirit, that Spirit made me free from the law of sin and death. So there's an incentive to walk. I mean, it would be nice, a lot of times even in Christianity, we can kind of almost get a zap mentality. I just want to sit here and get zapped. I want to be zapped free from everything that's wrong with me, you know? Well, we're born again children of God, but we're not called to sit and get zapped. We're called to stand and walk. And as we're walking with God, we're not just walking with God, but we're walking out of the pull of the flesh and we're walking into the strength of the Spirit. So as that we're walking with God, there's a walk of freedom. There's a motivation to get up because if I'm bound by something, I can get free, but I got to walk. I got to walk in the Spirit. And as I'm walking with God, I'm going to get free from the things that are binding me right now. But it's going to require effort. It's going to require a walking and a getting up. Another incentive for walking is we walk out God's plan. For we are God's workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do those good works which God predestined for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them. Okay? Here's another thing that you can't get sitting down. You can't experience and walk out God's plan for your life without walking, all right? So as I'm walking with God, here again, not just walking for the sake of walking, but I'm walking out those good works. In other words, as I'm endeavoring to walk with him, he's leading me into those paths that he prepared for me ahead of time. So I'm not walking aimlessly. I'm walking with a very specific intent and purpose. So what am I saying? It's worth the effort to get up. There is something to get up for. I'm getting up to do what he's called me to do. Here's another incentive that God gives us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So not only as I walk with him do I walk free from things that are holding me into bondage, not only am I walking in his plan and purpose for my life, but I'm walking in fellowship with him. And this is one of the best parts of walking with God there is. You're fellowshipping. I'm not just walking here again for the sake of walking, but as I'm walking, I'm getting things from God. I'm hearing him. He's speaking things, and I can tell that's God. That's his voice. And I'm talking back, and I'm fellowshipping in prayer back with him. And there's dialogue. There's relationship. There's fellowship. But all these things have something in common, whether it's getting free, God's plan, or fellowship. They all involve walking. What are these? These are incentives to get up and walk. And we'll just say this as Christians. We have seasons where we're walking, something knocks us down, and we're sitting. And you can sit for a day or you can sit for years. But a lot of times we got to get stirred up and realize it's worth the effort to walk, to get up and walk, all right? So that's kind of the first thing that I just wanted to touch on in learning to walk with God, all right, is that we've all got something worth getting up for, where we find freedom, purpose, fellowship. It's right here in walking with God. The next thing that I just want to touch on is that walking, when you're doing it for the first time and you're learning how to do it, it can feel awkward. And that is absolutely by design. When you're not used to walking, or you haven't walked before, or you haven't walked for a long time, it can be awkward to learn how to walk again. If you look at, you know, people going through therapy and different things like that, there is an awkwardness as you're learning how to walk. And let's take a look at a few scriptures along these lines. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. And then I think this is the New Living below, same verse. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Okay? And so you think, all right, well, I'm just going to walk with God. Let's just walk. That's simple. But we see that as we continue on, that in that walking, there's a battle in that walk. In other words, you're not just getting up and naturally walking. As you're endeavoring to walk after and do what God wants you to do, you find that there's opposition. There's a battle within. And when you're used to just walking after the flesh, what you want, it's different, it's weird, it's strange, it's awkward to follow after God and the Spirit and what the Spirit wants, because we're just not used to doing that. And so we're going to have to overcome a few things as we do it. So as we look at that battle within, we're going to look at both sides of this battle, all right? First of all, we're going to look at, because we see that there's the flesh side of the battle and there's the Spirit side of the battle. So here's, as we're learning how to walk, what we deal with spiritually, and of course this is all figurative, as we're learning how to follow after God, is the voice of the flesh. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. So this is half the battle he's kind of describing here. And Galatians describes what these urges and dictates look like. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessing of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all the similar behavior. All right? And you'll notice, you may look at that list and say, I would never do some of that. But you look at other parts. The thing of that list is, all of those things, even though they're different in their expression, they're all equally flesh. They're equally addictive. And they equally have urges and dictates. In other words, being in love with your own opinions is the same in terms of flesh as pornography or hatred of those who get in your way. There will be impulsive urges, dictates, just things that'll rise up. These are just the different expressions. We're talking about learning how to walk with God. There is a battle that goes on that makes that walk awkward, that requires faith to walk with Him. These are the things that are trying to knock us off to keep us sitting down. And you'll notice that when you're walking with God, the voice of the flesh side of this battle, it has urges and dictates. It's a loud voice. That urge can seem so intrinsic. It can feel like, this is me. It's dictating. It's loud. It's like, wow. But yet it's not, if it's not Him. And so we've got to be aware of this. I'm walking with God. I'm not going to be walking in that. I'm not going to be walking in the flesh. In other words, it says, yeah, dictating you to do something along those lines. That's what it looks like in real life. Or the Spirit put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now look at how the Spirit speaks. The Spirit does not urge and dictate. The Spirit leads. However, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. 1 John, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you. You need not that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. In other words, that voice of the flesh is a dictating urger. The voice of the Spirit is a leader. He's leading and guiding and teaching and speaking. Okay? He has a different quality. He has a different sound of the voice. And so when you're trying to walk with God and you get this urge to do something wrong, you know, it's like, oh, but it's... You just want to quiet the loudest voice in the room for some peace. It's a dictating urger. And that sweet voice of the Spirit is leading and guiding and reminding. But the Word says in this, so as you're walking that flesh against the Spirit against the flesh, yeah, they're equally opposed, but they sound different. That voice of the flesh is going to be a loud driver. But the Spirit of God, what does the Scripture say here in Romans? Says, but if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. In other words, the Scripture is saying, you know, you don't just quiet the loudest voice in the room by doing what that voice tells you to do. You know it's a temporary silence anyway until it has something else for you to do. That's the way the flesh is. It drives and it dictates. You can put to death that voice. Even as you have the sweet Holy Spirit leading and guiding, what it's showing you to do, it's also going to quiet that voice in a different way. You're learning how to walk. It's hands in the air because it's needing to be steadied. It's uncertain about this. I've always walked, you know, when you're used to walking in the flesh, you're used to walking a certain way. And if you're going to, all of a sudden, I'm not going to pay attention to that voice or those loud impulses, or let's see, we'll use scriptural terminology. If I don't pay attention to those natural urges and dictates that I'm getting in my mind, I'm going to go against that. I'm just not going to do what I've been doing for years and years and years. And I'm going to walk with God and do some things God's way instead. There is a trust factor that's going on there. They're like this. I'm not used to putting pressure on something over here. And this is how He does it. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds in the things of the flesh. It is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. It's a nice general scripture that talks about a direct. It's that list down there at the bottom. You begin to set your mind on that stuff. There is an urge. I'll think about that. And you set your mind on that. That's carnal mindedness. And that points and that directs to death. But the cool thing about this is it says you have no obligation to do what your nature urges you. That means you have a choice. If you have no obligation when that thing comes on you, that means you have a choice to not do it. Is it going to feel awkward to not do it? Yeah, it's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel strange. It's going to feel a little weird because that's what you're used to doing. But you have a choice. You have no obligation. You haven't lost your free will. No matter how strong that urge and dictate is, you still have a free will to do what? To get spiritually minded. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Let's be more specific. And so he goes on to say, this is 2 Peter, he's given you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of these tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature by which you've escaped the corrupt desires that are in the world. All right? Let me do this. If you got one hand on the Word, you got one hand in the Spirit. As you're setting your mind on things above, that Word of God, there's a partnership with the divine nature, and they are working together. So even though you're toddling a little bit, you're thinking, I got this strong urge, and I've always done this, but the Word says, the Holy Spirit, the anointing that abides within, who's teaching and leading and guiding, reminding you, says, yeah, but you can forgive. But yeah, but God loves them too. Or, you know, but you have the power. That's wrong. That's not the right thing to do. That's selfish. That's not right. But the thing of it is, under this covenant, it's so different because he's given us promises. He hasn't given us another 10 commandments. He hasn't given us another set of rules and regulations to live by. He's given us magnificent promises. And the thing about these promises is that when I put pressure and trust in the promise of God, there's a partnership with the divine nature that gives me the ability to do what his promises say. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can live above. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that each one of you should know how to live sanctified, you know, have your body sanctified, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles. Well, that could sound like a fat finger-wagging scripture, but it's a promise that he's given us the ability to do that. And I remember that promise not to condemn me, but to remember that that's the will of God. And the Holy Spirit says, yes, that's the will of God, and that's what the power that I have, because as you begin to walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I'm not just grabbing onto a promise, but I'm grabbing onto the law of the Spirit of life, setting my mind on those things above, which are those magnificent promises, okay? Not of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. How can I not be afraid? How can I make myself not be afraid? It's just, you know, you get more afraid by trying to not be afraid. But there's a promise that I can grab onto. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. I don't understand how it's going to work out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what changes have to happen in me. I don't know a lot of things, but I know that's true. And I know that in the moment, God wants me to grab onto that magnificent promise and know that the power of the Word of God is right there. And when I hold onto that promise, I'm tempted to fear, but I'm holding onto that promise. And with the other hand, there's a partnership of the divine nature that's saying, that's true. So I'm going to walk in that. And I'm not going to listen to the loudest voice, you know, those kind of things, those compulsions of the flesh. They're loud voices. But as where awkwardness is natural, as sure as there's an awkwardness in walking, you're navigating that battle of the flesh and the spirit. But there are promises. You're literally leaning under the power of the strength of the Spirit, and you're leaning on that scripture, even though you've got contrary thoughts in your head, but you're not going with those. But the cool thing is, as you go with the Spirit of God, you go from that crawling to that toddling to that walking, and you realize that the voices, those loud voices in the room, are no longer loud, but you're getting what the Holy Spirit said he would do. He begins to do. He begins to guide. He begins to speak. He begins to teach you. And as you're walking, you begin to get revelation. I do have strength. You begin to experience a strengthening of the Holy Spirit in your inner man, a strength to live above the law of sin and death. It's not mental power. All your mind is doing is it's the mind plays a part, okay? You got to be spiritually minded, all right? But that mind is like it's your active. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds in the things of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life flows through that setting your mind, and there is a power and a partnership with that divine nature as you think about and meditate and declare that magnificent promise of God. This is walking by faith. And this is something only you can do. Nobody can do this for you. We can encourage your faith. We can, you know, people can teach you about God and the Word of God and different things like that. But when it comes to walking with God, you're the only one who can put that foot out and begin to walk on the water, as it were, of the promises of God, just trusting Him and believing that. So you need to understand by design, there is a natural awkwardness with that. Now, in the process of endeavoring to walk with God, in the natural, as you're learning how to walk, you're going to fall sometimes. But your mom and dad don't just give up on you because you fell. Your mom and dad want to encourage you to get back up again. Get back up again. You can do it. This is what our great high priest says, Jesus. He says, come to me, all you who weary and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. This is important to realize, that when we're sitting, we're falling, Jesus is just like our natural parents. He's saying, come on, it's all right. Come to me. It's good. It's not over. You are dear children, and I write these things so that you don't sin. But if anyone does sin, in other words, we gave into that loudest voice, all right? Forgiving Redeemer who's face to face with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. For we do not have a high priest who's unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So here again, we're reminded of Jesus when we fall, that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh so that he could be tempted in every way as we are, so that he could be a sympathetic high priest. Now, Jesus never failed. Jesus never missed it. Praise God. He walked with the Father in perfection. That's his, and his victory is our victory, because once he did it, he turned around and unleashed the law of the Spirit of life that's not in the law, that's not in good works, but it's a law of the Spirit of life that's in the victory that was won through Christ Jesus and now belongs to us. So we have that power. We have that power to live above that law of sin and death. But what do we have here? We have a throne of grace. We have a place to go when we fall down. In the same way, when you're trying to walk by faith and there's an awkwardness and you find yourself having to lean on the Word of God and lean on the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's really what's keeping you up, when you're sitting down to get back up, he is the hand out that is lifting you up with his grace. Loud voices that are trying to fight you from walking in the Spirit, there's loud voices that want to keep you right there, in a place of sin consciousness and defeat, and you're such a hypocrite, and you're such a failure, and how dare you? It takes the same kind of humility to reach out and say, okay, Father, here we go. I know I failed, I missed it, but I'm ready to go again. In other words, when you're down there, your conscience is affected by sin. But praise God, he has made a way. Whenever our hearts make us feel guilty and remind us of our failures, we know that God is much greater and more merciful than our conscience. And he knows everything there is to know about us. How much more shall your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If we confess our sin, conscience from all wickedness, from the dead works, that's the power of the Lord would fall, and we help him get back up and help him learn how to walk. Our Heavenly Father knew. It's like what he said. He said, you know, I'm writing these things to you, you know, that you don't sin. He doesn't want us to sin. But if you do sin, we continually have a forgiving Redeemer who's face to face with the Father. He provides this way back. He provides a conscience cleansing way back up again. In other words, I'm sitting down there. I'm feeling like the biggest failure, hypocrite, whatever you want to say. I say, nope, there's an arm of grace that's reaching down and causing me to come back up. I've said this a lot of times. Anything that I'm doing right, praise God, there's a trail in the mercy and the grace of God that stayed with me. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's the grace of God that sticks with you until you learn how to walk, until you learn how to trust that promise and say, okay, this really is true. Okay, I've been around this block enough times. I trust. And you begin to declare and speak things, and the voice in the battle of the flesh comes in, no, in Jesus' name. But you're getting to that place where a couple things happen. You begin to realize that his word and his spirit are true, and you begin to trust his mercy and his love is real. I love how we were just worshiping God this morning, how the love of God just came in. He really loves us. He really wants to forgive us. He really wants us to get back up. He really wants us to keep going. Isn't that every heart of a parent for their child in the natural? Jesus loved to use that illustration. How much more does your heavenly Father have that compassion, that love, that nurturing? When you're down there, and yeah, you're conscious. Where David, I think it was from the Passion Translation, down. You know, and that's the way it feels like when your conscience is bothering you. But God knew that. And that's why I love that phrase. Whenever my heart makes me feel guilty and reminds us of our failures, we know that God is greater and more merciful than our conscience. It's hard to believe that something is bigger than your own conscience at the time. There is something bigger than your guilty conscience. God's grace and God's love and God's mercy is bigger than our conscience. And that mercy and that blood has the ability to cleanse that conscience and forgive us. And that's what we receive by faith. I'm not waiting for a happy feeling. I'm not waiting for some kind of a physical manifestation. Faith. Because I receive, and this is where it would be, I confess my sins. Father, I said conscience cleansing forgiveness from all wickedness. My conscience is restored. Praise God. That's why it is important to confess sin. Now, when I'm born again, I'm born again. When I fall down, I don't fall down and fall out of the family. I'm still in the family, okay? In terms of relationship, I still belong to that family. But there is something that's bothering me. That's conscience. And you'll notice that when I confess my sins, I don't get born again. I get my conscience cleansed from the dead works. I get my conscience restored so that I can get back up and serve the living God, so I can get back up and start walking again. I mean, that's ultimately what God wants. He wants to keep, but there's a getting back up again. And that's the biggest part of learning how to walk, is being able to get back up again. It is important to come clean. I'll just kind of address humanity. A lot of times when it comes to this forgiveness of sins, you kind of get two ditches. One side that'll say, you never have to confess your sins. It was one and done at the cross. He paid for all your sins at the cross. He did pay for all your sins at the cross. It was one and done in terms of taking the burden of sin. But we are called to confess our sins because he's faithful and just to cleanse our conscience. It's restoring conscience is why we confess sins. It's not that we don't have a revelation that he died for all our sins. We know that he did. And a lot of times what you'll do is you just, instead of confessing your sins, you'll just confess who you are in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old's passed away. All has become new. And that's good and that's right. We want to confess who we are in Christ. But confessing who you are in Christ can't replace confessing sin in restoring conscience and receiving forgiveness and cleansing. Why is that important? So you can get back up and serve the living God. It is important to do that, to keep your conscience clear. Now, I will say this in defense of this movement. One of the things that this movement has done very well is remind us the importance of knowing who we are in Christ and keeping that strong and declaring who we are. So there's been a really good element and reminder that has come through this area where we got a silver lining that we need to remember this is who we are in Christ. I am a child of God. That hasn't changed. I haven't fallen out of the family. I'm still in the family of God. But even as it is in a natural family, if we mess up in a natural family, we still say, I'm sorry, forgive me. You know, same in a spiritual family. We're still part of the family either way. But because relationship's real. Relationship with people are real. And I thank you that I do have a Redeemer who knows me, loves me. And then you got the other ditch over here. You can call this the older brother ditch, the prodigal son. You're going to confess your little sins and get back up again. Oh, yeah, all right, cheap grace, cheap grace. Did you really mean it? Did you home that he didn't run into the older brother before he ran into the father? What if he would have run into the older brother? You may have had a brother or sister in Christ who've chased you off, you know, but God hasn't chased you off. He loves you. He wants to forgive you. And yeah, you feel. His conscience is deep stuff. I'm a hypocrite. I promised and I did and I did. I wouldn't trust me. I wouldn't have. Well, what business do I have of going back to God? Yes, he's greater than your conscience. He's greater than your heart. And he's more patient than the older, he's more patient with you than the older brother is. He'll stick with you. And he'll love you because he really, really loves you and he really wants you to get back up walking with him again. Why? He wants you to walk free from the thing that's knocking you down. He wants to take you to where he's ordained you to go. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to talk with you. There's bigger things at stake here than sitting down and feeling sorry for yourself. It's worth getting back up again. It's not just worth learning how to walk. You got things that are worth getting back. You begin to do this, and you begin to get back up and get back up and get back up. There becomes an inflection point when you're in the point of temptation that says, I'm just going to get back up anyway. So I'm going with the Word and with the Spirit, and I'm going forward. God will make a case of love in your spirit. It's not cheap grace. It is a work of grace that's going on. There's a work of your learning it. But don't ever stay down here feeling like I can't get mercy this time because that would be cheap grace. Get back up by faith. Get back up by faith. How many times, Lord, my brother sinned against me and I forgive him? 7 times. I'm a very patient, humble person. 70 times 7. He was giving Peter a picture of the mercy and the grace of God that sticks with us until we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I'm telling you what, you know, but to the credit over here, there's something that the older brother has that's good here. The Bible says the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly, the older brother has, is he doesn't confuse the mercy and the grace of God, a false sense of condoning sin. That's good. We don't want to confuse the mercy of God with condoning sin because God doesn't condone sin. I can get back up because a price was paid. And every time I get back up, I realize it's a blood that's cleansing my conscience. Every time I get back up, it's not God condoning my sins. I realize it's a blood that's getting me back to my feet that cleanses my conscience from those dead works. So even though the older brother can get off and have the mantra of cheap grace, there is a good silver lining that we got to appreciate that is here. That we do realize that I'm getting up by the grace of God because of what he's done for me. And just kind of in conclusion, we got to realize this. When it comes to the Lord, you know, ultimately he's our Lord, he's our master, he's our judge. He's the one, anybody's influence in your life, you're going to stand before him. And the scripture says this, who are you to judge another? Be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. Passion says, who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else's household servant? His own master is the one to elevate whether he succeeds or fails. And God's servants will succeed, for God's power supports them and enables them to stand. What a great promise. You know, it doesn't matter how somebody else judges you. Their judgment means nothing. You belong to God. And God doesn't pay attention to their judgment of you. He is able to make you stand. He's able to make you get back up. So this morning, I just wanted to encourage you a little bit along these lines. I just got to pull a lot of scripture in here, I know, but I just really want our online website to kind of look at them, to see them all put together, because God has will and his design. He puts a tempting trail out in front of us. He puts that tempting trail of freedom. By the law of the Spirit of life, we can put to death deeds of sin. You know, we can put to death those things that inhibit us, that, you know, that that knock us off our track. You can be free. You may be yielding to generational sins that have been in your ancestry for years. And by the Spirit of God, you can break that. You can literally be transformed by the renewing of your mind as you begin to walk in the Spirit and walk with God and be free from those things. There's a reason to get up, to be free from those things, to go and to do what God has called you to do, to enjoy a word from God, being in relationship with the Lord and knowing you're in relationship with him. There's still a lot of stuff, but just knowing you got that fellow. These mortal bodies, it's mortal for a reason. It's dying for a reason. It's not glorified yet. It's been corrupted by sin, and the thing that corrupts our natural physical bodies, it has an appetite. And it has the ability to connect with the flesh of the world, the devil that we live in. And so we've got that battle that we're fighting. So there is an awkwardness. It's a great promise. If I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But it goes on to say that the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against the flesh. There is a battle. But praise God, we know what that flesh sounds like and we know what it looks like. We got the list right there. And we know how it talks, it urges, it dictates. But we also know that we've got the greater one living on the inside of us too, the Holy Spirit. We know the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, what that looks like and where he's leading out to the Spirit side. The Word is there, the Spirit is there, and we begin it. It's not a to-do, shame on you, condemnation if you don't do this commandment. It's a magnificent promise. And when you hold on to it as a promise, you realize the power of the Spirit is there to uphold you, to walk in that promise of God. Yeah, it feels awkward when you've got the pressure of the flesh going against you, but that's okay. You can learn how to walk, and you can get good at walking. So good at walking that Spirit puts to death the deeds of the body. That thing that used to be such a loud voice in the room becomes very faint. I mean, you'd have to stir it up again to get addicted to it again. It puts it to death that much. The Spirit of God. New King James says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. It's really this is our conscience, our own self-awareness of failure. Someone has been our failure. There's a blood that has swallowed up all of our failure that we can look to. He is for us, he is with us, and he is upholding us. And I'll tell you, I don't even want to stand, but he makes you stand. He's like, okay, I got you. I love you. I'm not letting go of you. It's like, okay, it's like what Jody was saying before. Where else would we go? Who else has the words of eternal life? All right, here we go. Let me get my legs under me here by your word and your Spirit. Let's go on. Praise God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can learn. We can learn to walk with you. We know we've got these things that we got to overcome. This is all common to man stuff, though, Lord. We thank you that there's nothing that is different about our learning to walk than somebody else's learning to walk. But we've all got these things that we've got to overcome, but we all have the same precious, magnificent promises. We have the magnificent Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Where we're at, you're there. You haven't given up on us. You never give up on us. Lord, can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want to walk with you. I want to walk in your plan for my life. I want to hear your voice. I look to you, Heavenly Father. I know there's a battle. It's awkward to go against the urge, to go against the dictate. But I am going to choose to hear the voice of your Spirit. You're meek and lowly in heart. You're not going to whip me. You're not going to drive me. You're going to lead me. You're going to guide me. I'm going to listen for that voice. I'm going to trust your voice. I'm going to trust your promise. I'm going to lean on you. Help me to learn how to walk by faith and to trust you. And I will get up when I fall, because your blood, your grace is sufficient for me. Thank you, Father. You make me stand. I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. So be encouraged this morning. We're all going through this walk with God. We're all learning how to get our legs under us, as it were. And trust, these are really legs of trust, but he loves you, he's with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. Don't let an older brother chase you off. Don't let an older brother tell you what dad really thinks. They don't have it right. Your Heavenly Father loves you. That throne of grace is there for you. Amen. Praise God.